Welcome into the Vet Blast podcast. I'm Matt Bubala, your host today. We're turning the tables. Dr. Adam Christman is with us as our guest.
This is pretty cool, actually.
This is good. This will be interesting for us. So this episode is brought to us by VetNeek. Yes. Thank you so much to our friends at VetNeek for sponsoring this. We're talking about itchy pets.
Yes.
I imagine when it comes to itchy pets, such a big issue, not a one-size-fits-all approach.
It's not. I'm telling you, if you had an itchy pet on your exam table, it is a marathon, not a sprint, you know, and it can be frustrating, but it is really, it's not a one size fits all for everyone. And so what we're chatting about a little bit is just understanding the depth and the scope that, you know, spectrum of care and itchy dogs is really layered in, especially now more so than ever.
And there's so many tools in your toolbox these days. We hear the term multimodal approach.
Yeah.
Like, how do you tackle an itchy pet when they come into practice?
Yeah, the first thing is you want to really identify and ditch the itch. And the best thing that we always do is you want to do your full dermatologic database. You really don't want to miss those easy things. Flea combs, skin cytologies, impression cytologies, ear cytologies. All of that's part of your dermatologic database. And of course, a little, you know, shining the black light on them too, just to make sure we're not dealing with any ringworm. I think those are the basic things. And what we're finding, what I'm seeing around practices is they're charging a dermatologic database code. So instead of them being priced out for an ear cytology times whatever, skin cytology times whatever, you just included one cost, whatever that might be. So that way you can allocate that into more of the, you know, products or services or prescriptions that are going to go out the door, because it can add up. You're looking at topicals, you're looking at controlling the itch, and maybe antibiotics or antifungals all in one.
When an itchy pet comes into your practice, what is step one for you? Because there's so many options.
Right.
Are you trying to eliminate certain things? Are you trying to tackle it all at once? I imagine the first thing you're saying is, I've got to stop the itch. This pet is suffering, and so are the owners because of that.
Right. And it really is, to your point, that it's a collaborative effort of realizing and setting the expectations, especially if we have an atopic dog that we're diagnosed, which is a diagnosis of exclusion, as we all know. But we have to set that expectation to the pet owner, knowing that, listen, this isn't treatable, it's manageable. And those are such key words in talking to them about that. We have flea allergy dermatitis, we have food allergy, adverse reactions to food. Yes, we can manage those things and don't understanding how we work those out. But when we have those atopic dogs, if you say that we're gonna treat them, they're gonna be back at your door in 6 weeks and be like, doc, what the heck? You know, you just told me it was treated. No, it's kind of these like ebbs and flows that are going to be happening throughout the year. So I think that's really crucial in understanding those things.
That's really interesting, because as a pet owner myself, I've gone through this, I think, where my dog is licking a paw or doing certain things. And I think, okay, we're going to get on a product, we're going to get better. And that's not necessarily the case. Do you recommend clients look at it as you have an itchy dog?
Right.
So this is now your itchy dog. This is always going to be your itchy dog. We're just going to figure out how to manage it and make him feel okay.
Absolutely. And the itch can vary from dog to dog. And not all atopic dogs are itchy as well, to even put it on the next level. But you can have a completely itchy dog ear with a normal ear cytology, no bacteria, no yeast, but they still have itchy ears. That's where you could do something to give them some relief that might just need some sort of a cortisone in the ear versus an antibiotic, because we want to use our antimicrobial stewardship at the same time. And then also going from ears to the rears, we gotta boot the scoot, because some of these guys that we have, some of these clients, I'm sure many of you out there also have this, where you have some of these owners that are obsessed with anal glands on their dog. And they're coming in like once a week, and you're like, what in the world? But it should be a red flag realizing that it's more than just like an itchy hiney. I think it's atopic dermatitis. But of course, this is what I love about the VetNeek portfolio too. I love that they have the Glandex there, they have the chews, they have the wipes. I mean, anything to help minimize any kind of impaction that could be there. Because we know there could be abscesses that could be there too. But when they're coming in often, we also want to put at the top of a list that it could be atopic dermatitis.
Okay, so you're describing me as a pet parent, I think, to a T. Not that, because my dog does scoot at times, but I don't bring in. But like, you know, we're cleaning out the ears for a week, and then we kind of stop doing it. And so tell me about compliance. How do you help that pet owner get on the page with you? So that you mentioned collaborative at the beginning. It's a collaborative effort, meaning you're going to say, here's what we need to do, but they need to keep doing it and keep talking to you about it. How do you have those conversations so that they really don't go home for a week and then, doc, what happened?
I know. A huge thing, especially to new graduates, is the first question is, can you do this? Can you bathe your dog? Because just be honest with us. I don't want to send them out the door with a shampoo and it's just going to sit on the shelf and not do anything. We have clients that have rheumatoid arthritis that physically can't do those things. They maybe can't take them out to get a bath. So that lets me know, okay, mousses, topicals, leave-ons is where we're going to go with this. Can you pill your dog? You know, there's really simple things. And maybe we should look at compounding medications as another formulation. So compliance isn't just about, like, making sure they're giving it to completion. It's making sure they can actually give it and do it and follow through. So that's the layers of what I like about Spectrum of Care. It's not layers this way. It's kind of opening up in the horizontal aspect of things of where we can go and customize the care, because it's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not just about their wallets or purses and credit cards. It's about understanding what they can do. I have clients that are so busy, they're hardly home, and so they either have a doggy daycare person that comes to take care of them. So then I said, let me be in touch with the primary caretaker. And I know some owners come in and like, well, I'm just dropping the dog off. I have a list of things. So she's been itching for this, doing this. So, okay, you're not the primary caregiver. So what I'm going to say to you is probably going to go right over your head.
All right, man. Sometimes a husband comes in like, well, I don't know. She said blank.
Right. So that's why I'll even say, is like, do you mind just, and I know not many of you want to do this, but either you can self-record yourself just an audio or video record yourself, because it really is going to help you out there of repeating yourself on the phone. They go home 20 minutes later and you say, I'm so sorry, Dr. Crispin, my husband dropped the dog off. Can you repeat what you just said? Because he doesn't know what you just said.
Yeah.
That makes me want to clench my pearls a little bit. But if you could do something like, hey, mom, hey, dad, this is Adam calling. You know, just want to double check and show you what we're going to do. I want you to start the antibiotics today. Give that until completion. We're going to do a recheck in 2 weeks. We start the shampoo therapy once every Saturday, leave it on for about 8 minutes. Just kind of doing a video component of that, or just an audio, just to enhance their learning. Because especially with allergies, and exactly what you said, it's multimodal, multi-layers, and so it can be a little complicated.
Okay, so I know with obesity, there's a huge issue that it's a tough conversation and people are sort of embarrassed. They might not want to talk about it so much. When it comes to itchiness, do you ever, you know, I know you said that like the problem is they'll go home and then come back and be like, wait, I thought this was going to work. Why is it not working? Is there also an issue where they don't come back? They don't talk because now they're embarrassed that the dog is itching again. He told me what to do. I did it with the compliance. Is there, do you have to like work with them to make sure they're talking to you no matter what's going on? Don't get embarrassed. If it comes back, that's going to happen. We can work through this.
Yeah, absolutely. Like having any communication barriers about that, not placing any judgment on them, and realizing that it's okay if there's failure about things. Like if the skin isn't improving or if the itch isn't under control, guess what? We have options. You know, so I think setting that expectation in the exam room right away, and also follow through. So either having your technician and reception check in a few days to see how it's going, making sure that you're closing that loop of communication and you're still in their passenger seat with them in the driver's seat along the way for treatment and management. You just don't see them out the door, see you later, bye, let's recheck in 3 weeks. We need a little guidance along the way. So I think, you know, giving them a call, some hospitals will do text message alerts, just checking in to make sure it's going. Send us a picture of the skin to see if it looks like it's improving. That can just go a long way. Some do telehealth too. You can do easy rechecks on skins and ears. And I find more than ever in practicing that pet owners really, really want to get involved, especially with skin. It's visible, it's noticeable, and it keeps them up at night.
It affects them too, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I say this to a lot when I was speaking about this in derm. Dermatology is also an emergency because, and I say this, it's an emergency to you, it's an emergency to me. When they come in and you could just tell they are miserable, the owners, like, I'm not sleeping at all. To see their dog literally suffering and chiseling at their quality of life, it ruins the human-animal bond. So we want to address it right away. And I divide some of these things into several categories. So I talk about pharmacologic because there's really great things that we can now do to help target and neutralize the itch. We got Apoquel, we got Cytopoint, we have Zenrelia, we have something new coming out at the end of the year as well. And also, let's not forget about corticosteroids. You know, Temeril-P, based on clients' budgets, it does its thing. You have to set the expectation of potential side effects, but it still works. I say no dog should leave your clinic without them not itching, because we have something for everyone now.
There's relief available.
There really is. So that's like the pharmacologic side. And then the other thing that the newer research has shown is nutrition and GI. This is what I love, what Vetnik has too. They even have it in their Pro5X as the gut-skin access. So talking about probiotics and how you know, that really helps nourish and protects the skin barrier as well, the microbiota that's on the skin. So that's a lot of great evidence that's out there, as well as nutrition. So that's another layer that we have to have to pet owners of say, you know, in addition to what you're feeding because you're concerned about food allergies, is talk about probiotics. So there may not be enough in their food, or you could do some sort of supplements in there. And then I also talk about topicals. What I love about topicals is that, again, we're really trying to use our antimicrobial stewardship. And so antibacterial with either chlorhexidine or ketoconazole, and even throwing something in to help soothe them, which could be a topical steroid. And the minimum contact time that we like for these guys is 8 minutes. And it's the longest 8 minutes of your life.
Yeah,
it really
sure
is. Like but I tell them you can use like lick mats and trying to get in there. I love also if you guys got to check out these brushes that they have. It's really cool because it massages. They're massage brushes, but it also gets the soap into their skin for contact time. Because sometimes pet owners think that you're touching the hair when in fact you really got to get into the skin and leave that on a little bit. And then lastly is the anal glands and perianal itch that we were talking about. That's another thing that we have. And, you know, again, we have a great arsenal of products that are out there that are affordable, that, you know, don't necessarily need a prescription. Again, if we have owners that are traveling, going on vacation and camping, I always have a must-have list. And Glandex would be one of them. This one that I have here is the Otic Bliss Vet Strength Ear Drops. This isn't an antibiotic or a prescription, but it's got micro silver that's in here with a little hydrocortisone. So let's just say it's the weekend and there's an ear flare-up that's happening. Throw this in the ears until they see us, you know, so that way we can address the issue a little bit more. So you have something. You know, owners want to be able to do something if, like, the hospital's closed or they just can't get in to see us.
Sure.
So those are kind of like the management categories we chat about.
And most importantly, I just want to come back to it. Us as the pet parents, compliance, talking to you, keeping open those lines of communication, letting them know that this is an ongoing process. This is not solved this week. We're going to relieve pain, but we're going to keep working on this.
Totally. Yeah, it might be lifelong. You know, sometimes you have these flare-ups, or the horrible flare-ups, especially a time of year when you're going from the summer into the fall, you get a really nasty flare-up that can happen. And you know, the other option that you talked about is immunotherapy and allergy testing, of course. Yes, it could be pricey. Yes, it could be the administration of either giving something sublingually or injectable. But there are options that are out there, too. So sometimes I'll say, like, we've been spinning, going around the drain over certain things, but we really don't know what the underlying cause is. Let's get to the root of it by doing some allergy testing. But again, there's a financial commitment with that.
Sure. Well, and real quick, let's jump into that. Yeah. As a GP, there's dermatologists, veterinary dermatologists. Yeah. There's not a million of them.
No.
So how far do you go before you say, okay, we need to ratchet this up. I need to send you to a dermatologist.
Yeah. Great question, because you know what I love now is when we talk about spectrum of care, it's also talking about like the spectrum of education with our clients. And veterinary dermatologists are phenomenal with working with us. When you refer them over, it's not like, okay, off you go. It's a whole collaborative teamwork approach that happens. And so when you want to, obviously, the number one thing is to make sure you do your dermatologic database. Rule out the fleas, rule out the obvious things. But maybe, just maybe, there's things like autoimmune conditions that are going on. Maybe there's cancerous process. Maybe we're not comfortable doing biopsies of certain areas of those skin lesions. And, of course, just partnering with a dermatologist, getting another pair of eyes on a case is certainly not bad at all. But, and again, to your point, there's not a lot that are out there, but when you partner with them, sometimes your veterinarian can actually, you know, have a telephone consult with some of the dermatologists out there to talk about these things, and I think it's fantastic to do.
Excellent. Yeah. Dr. Adam Christman, the Vet Blast podcast, thank you so much for being the guest today.
Thank you. This is great.
Thank you to our friends at VetNique for sponsoring this. Join us next time. I'm sure it'll be Adam here at the Vet Blast podcast.